Fox Sports 1480 AM, 102.5 FM. The Gambler. H-G-L-G-S-E-M-O. In Philly, there's a group that brings diehard sports fans together as one big family through tailgate and road trips. Now the guys from Green Legion are bringing the tailgate to the airwaves. Quimby, Hollis Tank Thomas, Michael Diaz, and Chris Sack always keep the party going, so crack a beer. Take a shot and join the virtual tailgate now on Green Legion Radio.
Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports, The Gambler, 102.5 FM. Philadelphia, brought to you by Bud Light. My name is Quimby. I am there's my Bud Light sound tank. My man. I am joined alongside my three partners, Hollis, Tank, Thomas.
Good
Chris,
evening.
Master. And shut up, Michael Diaz. What's up, fellas? How are you tonight?
What up, yo?
Actually, it's this afternoon if we're on Saturday, right?
Yes, this afternoon. Yes, sir.
I'm learning.
You're doing great at it.
And by the way, this is another episode where I must start off and say I would still pipe Sean McVay's girlfriend.
Yes.
Solid analysis, as always. I mean, you are always known for your high standards there, Quimby. So it's, you know, not that much of a stretch.
Everybody, we got a packed show today. We're pre-taping the show on Thursday, and Carson Wentz just got traded today, so there's a lot to talk about. You may hear some redundancy here, but we also have done a lot of research on what we want to talk about. We want to dig into Howie Roseman and his antics a little bit further, and Hollis may even have some insight from players that he knows and people around the league that have talked more about some of his shortcomings and some of his talents and why he might still have a job. But we're going to break that down for you today, big time. It's also it's called Howie Day, baby.
It's a Howie Day.
It's a Howie Day. It's February 20th is now an official holiday in Philadelphia. It's Howie Day. We celebrate everything about Howie Roseman because, unfortunately, it appears as though we're not going to be able to shake this booger for the rest of our lives. He's going nowhere. Diaz.
It was weird. I saw the run sheet and saw that you had Howie Day, and I was pretty sure you weren't referring to the intimate singer-songwriter who plays love ballads on WXPN. I'm like, has Quimby softened up as he's been down? Howie Day now?
Zach. Yeah, he's going from Howie Day to Trick Daddy opening up the show. So, we know Quimby. He likes to cover all bases.
All right. So, Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports, The Gambler. 102.5 FM. If you want to listen to our podcast, rate, review, subscribe, download us, you can go on iTunes or Google Play and search for Green Legion Radio. You can also just go to the iHeart Radio app, download that. You get all three shows, Green Legion Radio, the flagship show. Get Tank Happy Hour with Tank and Quimby and Ice to Shorts Winter Sports with Sack and Diaz. All great shows, all coming to the air, hopefully, on Fox Sports The Gambler come April. And like we teased the show about the Phillies coming up, that's definitely in play right now. We're just ironing out the details. So that's going to be an excellent one. Green Legion Radio brought to you by Bud Light, Stateside Vodka and Stateside Bourbon, MCS Construction Services, thenextsip.com, all Cavanaugh's restaurants, Cavanaugh's Riverdeck, Cavanaugh's Headhouse, Cavanaugh's Rittenhouse, and Cavanaugh's University City. Of course, please go over and help the beautiful ladies over at Delilah's get through med school. That is important. And all of our City Fitness Philadelphia locations. And if you are not in Philadelphia, you're over the bridge, make sure you get all of your health and fitness needs over at Echelon Health and Fitness. Howie Day, baby. But before that, Tank, what happened this week in sports history and what happened this week in Hollis history?
Well, today is February the 20th. It's the 51st day of the year. There's only 314 of these puppies left. We're going to start off with some national holidays. Today is National Muffin Day. Oh, yes. It's also National Cherry Pie Day.
Hello.
National Whale Day. Comfy Day. And National Carson Wentz is Gone Day.
Is that a national holiday? I just thought it was. Hey,
and I got some quick events here. The first event is February the 16th of 1984. We had the Bill Johnson. He becomes the very first American to win a gold medal in the downhill skiing event. I didn't know it took us that long to get a downhill skiing event, but then I looked at skiing and figured we hadn't mastered it that well. So then I go to February 19th, 1965, but adding it at the NFL added an extra official, the line judge who still does nothing. Then I had February 20th, actually today, 1956, the United States Marine Academy becomes a permanent service academy, which means that all of the officers for our United States Marine Corps get trained there in New York. Got a couple of quick birthdays here. 1927, Sidney Poitier. 1963, Charles Barkley. 1966, Cindy Crawford.
And
1988, Rihanna. Now, today's story, it kind of goes with what's going on with Carson Wentz. It's how I found out I got traded.
Oh.
During the draft in late April, my brother Pops was about to get married, so we were doing his bachelor party in Houston, Texas. And we had went out the night before gallivanting and pillaging over the city, of Houston. And so I woke up the next morning, was sitting on the couch, bewildered, looking for some a Bud Light and some cereal. And so I cut on the TV.
There's two of my favorite breakfast choices.
So I turned on the TV to ESPN, and you know how your picture's on TV, but it looks like a mugshot. So I'm looking at ESPN. I was like, dude, what did we do last night? Because I hadn't turned the sound up yet. So I just saw the picture up there. I was like, oh man, what? So then all of a sudden my cell phone starts ringing, and it's Andy Reid calling. Say we traded you to the Saints. I was like, son of an onion. So then, you know, it was just right after Katrina too. So then Jim Johnson called me. He was like, hey, you know, you're a big part of what we had going here. And so then, my agent calls, and then, Sack, you got a quick question?
No, I want to see, like, did you exchange any pleasantries with Andy Reid? I mean, we all know how you feel about him now over the years. But, like, when you were on the phone with him, was it like, hey, thanks, coach, for giving me an opportunity? Like, was it anything like that, or what did you say?
I was saying, get your fat ass back over here. No, but I just said, you know what? I didn't try to step on any toes on the way out. Then Sean Payton called me, and then I went down there. You know, at one point I was wanting to exchange the scenery, and then as I was going through all this stuff, I realized that the grass is not always greener. Sometimes it's best to stay your ass where you at. Go ahead, Quimby.
Get your fat ass back here.
It was like but in doing it, I think I went through the worst training camp of my life when I went to New Orleans. It was 102 every day. And I was like, man, I wanted to leave Philly for this. But it wasn't my idea to leave. And it's like one of those things where you kind of in a hurry for it to happen, because you want to get to know where you're at and what you're doing, and get to know your teammates and pretty much get in that playbook. But that was the I think that's probably the weirdest story you guys are going to hear on somebody getting traded.
And I like to point out that my nephew Justin Miller is in the chat room right now, and he's kind enough to point out that my gray hair is coming in pretty strong. Appreciate you, brother.
Well, your comeback should have been, it's probably the sun bouncing off of my silver face, because we're in the snow.
It is a hot one up here today, or down here today, guys. You guys got snow today, didn't you, or more?
Yep, got like another 7 inches or something like that up here. It's it's no good.
That's what she said.
Yeah, they're not used to getting that in Audubon, PA, I'm sure.
Hilarious.
You guys have fun with that. Tank, that's an awesome story, brother. Let's move on, because it's time for another segment of
Kick-Ass or Jackass.
And being in Costa Rica in February, Kick-Ass or Jackass? Yay!
Kick-Ass!
Yeah, the answer to that question.
How about it? Jackass all day.
And I got my neighbor's cat rolling up on my my legs here, trying to drink my vodka and cranberry. It's great. All kinds of distractions right now.
Is that a euphemism for something else?
Yeah. No, I've got the camera on, man. You can see everything. So who's got something? I did not do any Kick-Ass or Jackass. Diaz, I know you have something. I think Slash is going to come back in here, and he's got some. I know Sackmaster's got some. Hollis has some. So let's start with Diaz. What do you got for us today, buddy?
All right, I got a couple of Howie Roseman themed ones, and I know that this is a radio show podcast, but the first one is anyone that's ever going to use that Howie Roseman binocular meme ever again, Kick-Ass or Jackass, starting with Quimby.
Jackass, 100%.
Jackass, total Jackass.
I mean, it really depends on what it's used for. I mean, if it's pure stupidity and I can't believe I just took this guy with a draft pick, it's Kick-Ass. But yeah, I'll say Kick-Ass.
I'm gonna say Kick-Ass only because moments after he used those binoculars, he was ghost because I guarantee you Jeff Lurie was looking for his ass.
wasn't that the moment too where he was getting torched on Monday Night Football by Lewis Riddick?
Yes.
Yeah. So that makes it even better.
Yeah.
Right. There should be audio attached to it. Okay. My last one. Also Howie themed for Howie Day here on Green Legion Radio. The quarterback factory drafting 6 QBs and bringing in another 7 QBs in the last decade and having one on our current roster. Kick-Ass or Jackass, Quimby?
Total. Hey, man, I love saying your junk is bigger than it is. It gets you somewhere. But this one isn't going to – not this time around. Jackass.
Well, I mean, we did get Clayton Thorson out of it, so, you know, it's Kick-Ass for me.
I think the quarterback factory is on fire right now and not in a good way, so Jackass.
Complete Jackass. The Mike Kafkas and the what's the other guy?
Clayton Thorson.
So Clayton Thorson, and it was one more.
Matt Barkley.
Yeah, Matt Barkley, and it's one more. Keep going. It's one that we drafted in the second round.
Nick, Jalen Hurts.
No. It was further back.
Kevin Cobb.
Yeah, there you go. That worked out for us.
All right, Hollis, why don't you go with your two?
Okay, here I go. I got two right here. Drafting Sid Nay while Dalvin Cook is still on the board. Kick-Ass or Jackass. We're going to start with you, Diaz.
You know, I hate doing this on one-on-one drafts, but it seems like with all of Howie's draft, they're always the wrong pick. Jackass, Howie, get out of here.
You know what? I mean, that's obviously Jackass, and we're going to talk about his draft picks here in a little bit. We're not going to go into the second, third, fourth, later picks, but the first-round picks. It actually seemed like he kind of knew what he was doing in the beginning. It seemed he was on the right track to pull players that were legit number one picks and had talent, but that is since eviscerated. But Jackass in and of itself right there.
Yeah, I mean, Sid, I'd be lying if I didn't think that Sidney Jones was going to pan out, but looking back at it, it's obviously Jackass.
Well, didn't the Vikings trade up in front of us to jump at Dalvin Cook? We didn't even have an opportunity. We had the opportunity to trade up to get him, but we didn't. But the fact that we overlooked guys like Alvin Kamara, who were drafted later for Donnell Pumphrey, that right there is Jackass.
Well, I mean, that pick, I think Dalvin Cook was taken third round. Am I right?
No, second.
He was second. He got picked right in front of Rasul Douglas. Really? I think we were two behind them, and we could have moved up. You know, we're not even going to talk about Mac Hollins.
Yeah, we're not going to. I wasn't going to bring up that one, but my next one was a big thorough reach for big. Well, I call him Big Puddin'. A big thorough reach for this guy in the first round. What do you think, Andre Dillard? Drafting Andre Dillard in the first round.
Starting with me, I don't know if it was a reach. He was considered the best offensive lineman in the draft by the experts. But you know what? You keep trading up and you're striking out. Again, in a vacuum, missing on one pick, it happens. Missing on all your picks, Jackass. Get the hell out of here, Howie.
Big reach, Jackass.
Jackass.
It's Jackass with the sole purpose of the fact that they didn't even meet with Andre Dillard during the draft process. They traded up two spots to take him for no damn reason.
Thank you.
Didn't realize his spokesperson was Bill Cosby.
and the last one, one Pro Bowler out of the last seven drafts, Howie.
I've been waiting for somebody to say it. Howie Roseman now has on this team how many Pro Bowlers in the last six drafts?
Zero.
Zero.
Yes.
Zero.
Well, there's Miles Sanders, but I don't think he should have been a Pro Bowler.
Stop it. That was a Madden vote.
Yeah, it was asinine.
Now my kick ass and jackass was having one Pro Bowler in out of the last seven drafts that you just traded.
I got you.
Kick ass and jackass. So you
it's all, you know what, can I just put jackass on repeat? I'm just going to say jackass. I'm so out on this whole thing. And we're going to talk a lot about it during the show. But, man, it's my favorite team in town. It's something we all bond. Our business is based off it. Our show is based off it. And it's like people ask my opinion when I, you know, talk to them, see them around or whatever. And I don't even want to talk about them. We will hear on the show because I like hearing your guys' opinions. But this entire team, it's jackass. Don't get me going here. Over to you.
I'm with Diaz. Jackass on repeat.
Yeah. Howie Roseman, jackass.
All day long, baby. All day long, jackass. And go ahead.
So it's on you, Sackmaster. That was my last one. It's on you now.
I'm only going to run with one Howie one. It's not even a Howie one. The fact that there is a rumor, kick-ass or jackass, that the Eagles want to take a quarterback with the sixth overall pick when the general manager last year was quoted as saying that the guy that he just took in the second round was like Russell Wilson. Kick-ass or jackass?
It's complete jackass. I thought somebody else was going to get that, but I was like, are you kidding me? And it's from a viable source. It's from Les Bowen. Les Bowen, he's over there all the time.
Hold on a second. Diaz loves Les Bowen.
Okay. I didn't see it because I'm blocked on all of the local writers. I will say this though, Hollis. Les Bowen reported he spoke with someone on another team that thinks that that's what the Eagles should do. So yeah. It's not that it wasn't someone inside the team, but I think it's jackass Howie picking anybody with the sixth pick, quarterback or not.
And the only thing that I was going to add to my jackass was the fact that we are still looking at another QB in this situation and how he still has a job. How does he still have a job?
We're getting there. We're getting there, Tank. Hold the phone.
I hold it down.
Quimby, over to you. I say jackass on repeat.
Yeah, jackass on repeat.
Jackass on repeat.
I agree with you guys. And, listen, we have the rest of the show to bash Howie, so I'm going to do this one in honor of the glare on Michael Diaz's forehead, if you guys are following us on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter.
Is that LED?
In the spirit of the fact that the Flyers are playing outdoor hockey on Sunday in Lake Tahoe, outdoor hockey games. Hollis, kick-ass or jackass?
I like outdoor hockey games for some odd reason. Kick-ass.
I'm going to say jackass, and I'll elaborate on my point when we get to that point of the show.
Only if you're in Mystery Alaska, jackass.
Once a year is not bad. I'll go with kickass.
Right. Probably one of my favorite days of the year is always a Winter Classic. When they start doing more than that, that's when it gets diluted.
Slash, real quick before we get that. If, in fact, that topic doesn't completely come back up, it's impossible to watch a hockey game in a big stadium, and that's what happens in these outdoor games. You can't see the puck. You might as well have Howie's binoculars if you want to watch a game. I don't like that. I mean, if you're going to have an outdoor experience, you need to put it in something, honestly, like the Union Stadium, where people could actually see it, even though that's a stretch. You can't have these huge stadiums and expect people. I don't know. I mean, you know, the event, the glamour, the glitz, you know, you hockey snobs feel like you're better than everybody already, and this is just something that adds sugar on top of that. But outside of that, I think the game watching experience itself sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily great, but I will say that I went to the alumni game at Citizens Bank between the Flyers and the Rangers. Mm-hmm. You can't see the puck, but being with 45,000 people outside of 20 in Wells Fargo, it's a blast. It's really loud. And I was at the Stadium Series game a couple years ago between the Penguins and the Flyers at the Link, and that was 70,000. I mean, it's just you're there more for the crowd and more for the atmosphere than you are for really watching the game itself.
That's true. But isn't that true with all Flyers games in person for the last decade or so? You're more there just for the experience and not the actual hockey, since they've been perpetually mediocre. But since we're not going to get to this topic, I'll just say here, it's ridiculous that the NHL is going to promote games at Lake Tahoe when it's not going to be on Lake Tahoe. It's going to be on the 18th green at some golf course next to Lake Tahoe. They're ripping off the fans. And you know what? The players even thought that they were going to be playing there. That's it. Quimby, take me out.
No, I'm not taking you out yet. / Kickass or Jackass, what do you got?
All right, we're up against time, so I'll just do my one. And it's taking a look-see at the photos Howie has of Jeff Lurie's wife, Tina.
I really have no interest in taking a look at her. I'm a happily married man. I will say Jackass.
Smart answer.
I'm going to say Kickass. Damn Skippy.
I am going to be very honest and say Jackass, because that is wrong.
I am going to be very honest and say Kickass. I'm with Tang.
Yeah, I am going to say, let's go to break.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody, Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports The Gambler, 102.5 FM Philadelphia, brought to you by Bud Light. We will be back with all Carson Wentz talk right after this. All right, everybody, Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports The Gambler, 102.5 FM Philadelphia, brought to you by Bud Light. My name's Quimby. I'm alongside Tank, Sackmaster, and Shut Up Diaz. Once again, if you ever want to listen to any of our shows, make sure you download the iHeartRadio app. It's real simple. Green Legion Radio. Get Tanked Happy Hour with Tank and Quimby. And, of course, Ice and Shorts, Winter Sports with Sack and Diaz. More shows coming, everyone, and not just podcasts. So we're excited about that. Everybody, it's time to get it, man. It is time to get at this thing. So, Diaz, I'm going to let you take the reins on this one. Carson Wentz gets traded to Indianapolis, as if we didn't see that one coming, which, honestly, this is the first move that the Philadelphia Eagles have made in quite some time where we actually all thought this was going to be what took place. We just weren't sure of the details. So, Diaz, why don't you give us the details of that trade and what you think about it?
All right, well, I will. I think for this segment, we're going to have to go straight to the bourbon early tonight, guys. I'm sorry about this.
I don't want to interrupt you either, but I got to be honest with you. By midway through the show, I'm going to be completely smashed. I didn't realize how much vodka I put in my drink. And
really?
Oh, yeah. Woo.
You getting
That's orange juice.
Oh, you're getting Tom Brady wasted, like, huh?
It looks more like lemon juice. Yep. White girl wasted tonight for Quimby.
Here's the basis of the deal here, and, you know, breaking it down. And I can't believe people. Anyway, what the Eagles get this year, they get a third round pick in 2021, a second round pick in 2022 that can move, that can turn into a first if Carson Wentz plays 75% of the snaps for Indianapolis or plays 70% of the snaps and the Colts make the playoffs. So that's what we got.
Thank God he didn't get traded to the New York Giants, because I would have sat him at 74.
We know exactly what's going to happen. He's going to play lights out. He's going to get hurt in week 11, and he'll sit for the remaining part of the year, and we'll end up with a second round pick. It's so depressing to think that at this point a year ago, we thought this guy was going to be here for the rest of the decade. We really thought that. And to walk away with a third round this year, especially for a team that has such a hard time drafting. You know, I don't believe in them drafting in the second round or the first round, but it gives them a better shot. And just this third, man. And the one thing I will say, though, I'm happy that they are going to accept this big cap hit this year, because they're going to stink anyway. And next year they can start fresh. But it's like, hey, Quimby, we're going to have a blast on these Green Legion trips this year, because it's just about the party. We're not going to be stressed out about the game.
Thank God. And also, you know what this reminds me of? Because now when you think about it, and I hate to say it, all right, with Donovan McNabb, we did at least have 10 years of knowing who our quarterback was. We weren't sure if he was ever going to get us over the hump. But since he has left, because I was not a huge fan of Vic, I thought Vic had a cap. He was going to take you so far, and then that was it. So he was never going to get you to the promised land as much as some people just loved having him here. Since McNabb has been under center for the Philadelphia Eagles, trying to find a quarterback has been like the Flyers trying to find a goalie for about the last 40 years. So kind of brutal when you think about it. The one position that you have to secure if you want to play in this league, if you want to be competitive, if you want to grow in the playoffs, if you want to build, if you want to get to the promised land. Now, again, after all that's taken place and all we found out in the Philadelphia locker room or Philadelphia Eagles locker room in the Novocaine Center, I'm going back to we got real lucky. We got real lucky in Super Bowl 52, making it that far and winning. Outside of that, man, this quarterback situation in this town has been a complete dumpster fire. Tank.
Well, yeah, it has been a dumpster fire, but I think that I think the powers that be let it get this way, though, because they've enabled Carson, they enabled and coddled him, and you have to put forth the one thing that I will give Big Red is he put forth a competitive environment, and when you get a competitive environment, you got people and this is going to sound cliche, but I don't want to sound cliche, but it's going to be cliche. It's like you have to get if somebody is on your rump. That's trying to play too, and is just as good as you, then you're going to play better. And that brings out the best in everything. And we created this monster. We anointed him before he was anointed, and he got away with a lot of stuff over there at the complex. And I'm finding that out. He is a nice guy, but I felt like we had to let him go. And what we
he's a nice guy when he's comfortable.
Yeah, but what we got for him, that's what he put out last year. That's the type of play that he was playing with. You can't tell me that you think you're gonna get a first round pick for somebody who led the league in throwing picks and turnovers. And everybody was making up all the excuses about the offensive line. The offensive line was ranked 15th in pass blocking. That's in the middle of the pack, and it was makeshift. Sack, give me something.
Nah, man, listen, my whole thing about this Carson Wentz trade is the fact that we are paying a guy not to be on our roster next year $33.8 million of dead cap. Like, that is by $11.6 million more than the second most in NFL history, which is Jared Goff, which the Rams are paying this year in dead cap just for him to go to the Lions.
Wow, and Shaq, thanks for bringing up my Flyers point once again.
the funny thing, hey, Shaq, talk about how much that Goff dead cap money is. It's like $24 million. Mm-hmm. This is like 40% more. It's not like some incremental amount. It's a massive difference.
Three of the top five, and this is by CBS Sports, three of the top five have all occurred in the last 3 weeks. Wentz number one, Goff number two, Stafford number five. Brandon Cooks was three. The Rams got rid of him. And then Antonio Brown, which the Steelers just wanted to get rid of him to, you know, out to Oakland. And we saw how that situation happened. It's an absolute disgrace what this organization has done. And it starts at the top. It's the crap that Howie started. Because if he didn't take Jalen Hurts in the second round, none of this crap would have ever happened. And listen, I'm saying right now that, and I said this back when he was drafted. Listen, Hollison, I agree with you. There's nothing wrong with healthy competition. But you know the quarterback position is the most prima donna position in all of football. Tom Brady. Tom Brady.
Receiver.
Receiver.
No, because these guys, Tom Brady wanted Garoppolo out the door. He got it. You know, like when you bring these guys in here.
Whoa. There's a huge difference between Brady and Garoppolo. Bro.
Thank you. Hold on.
Go ahead.
Yeah. The thing that you're, Carson hasn't earned that yet. He hasn't earned. In order for things to go the way you're saying, for him to be a prima donna, or for him to act that way, you have to earn it. You talk about Tom Brady. He earned that. He was healthy all the time. They went to Super Bowls. They went to playoffs, even though they were cheating. You have to earn that. You don't. It's like I'm getting sick and tired of us anointing cats for not doing nothing. He did nothing. Y'all showing highlights of crap from when he was an MVP. That's like 3-4 years ago. What have you done for me lately, Zach?
Yeah, but you got to look at it like this, Hollis. Okay, if Carson is doing this stuff and he's the one telling the coaches, I'm not running that playback. Like, really? Really? You as an offensive coordinator, you as a head coach, you as, you know, the quarterback coach, you aren't telling him, get your butt over there and we're going to put in the backup. We're going to put in Nate. We're going to put in Jalen. Don't tell me you're not going to run that back. This shows the ineptitude in this organization far greater than it does in whatever you want to say in being an enabled quarterback that Carson Wentz became. I think it's a joke that the organization let it get to this point because he earned the right not to have a second-round pick as a quarterback. He earned the right after dragging that steaming howl pile of garbage to the playoffs in 2019 for them to give him a running back or a wide receiver or an offensive lineman that could protect his butt.
Go ahead. Hey, Sack, he didn't earn the right. They signed him for a big contract. He didn't earn the right. He left the playoffs in the first round. They were 9-7 in a crap division. This is a crap division. Let's just be honest with ourselves. Hey, he won 4 games in a row. That's great. It's against the division. You know, like, he didn't – it was a stupid move to draft Jalen Hurts, and we said it the day after the draft on our show that this can only end in a disaster. Either A, signing Wentz to a long-term deal was a mistake, and Jalen Hurts is now your guy, or B, Jalen Hurts never sees the field because you just signed your quarterback to a long-term deal, and Jalen Hurts is not going to help the team win. Even a linebacker or cornerback is going to help Carson Wentz more than a backup quarterback. So everyone saw this except for the team because the team just assumed, I think, I don't know, they're in the room with Carson Wentz. We're not. We're making judgments based off articles that come out that look to be well-reported and well-sourced. Hollis provides some insight with some contacts he has within the organization. So, but you and I and us four here, we're not in that room. The Eagles totally misread Carson Wentz's psyche. They thought that this wouldn't bother him. They never saw that this being a possibility. You would hope, like Hollis says, a little competition. I see both sides here. You sign a guy to 100. You sign it. Just I'll finish up 1 second. You sign a guy to $128 million deal. It's his job. Like, yeah, competition, but it's his job. That said, drafting a quarterback in the second round should light a fire under him like Aaron Rodgers did and prove it. Like, I'm going to go out and prove everyone wrong and not be literally the worst quarterback in the league that all you get. Well, Hollis said, this is all we could get, a third round pick and a conditional first, second round pick. It's just embarrassing. And it's like, you know, oh God, we have to strap our name to this organization. It's just embarrassing. Let's have a good time in 2021 on these trips.
Diaz, I don't want this conversation. I don't want you to be finished the conversation. I want to ask you this specific question. Do you think that Howie and the rest of the powers that be realized Carson Wentz may have been a Maverick before this season was coming in? His psyche was damaged. Do you think that they saw this and – actually, the Jalen Hurts pick was brilliant. I don't want to say it because I disagree with every Howie move, but you know, if they figured out that Carson Wentz was already on the way down,
I don't think that took place.
If you want to take a positive spin on this entire season last year. The only spin is we saw this coming with Carson. I don't know. Your thoughts?
No, because they just signed him to that deal. And like what Sack's point is that, you know, like he had earned it in that they thought that Hurts pick was a luxury pick. The problem was probably not even thinking that Hurts was the pick. It's that they had faith in their aging old expensive offensive line. They're aging and old wide receivers that were completely unreliable from Jeffrey and DeSean Jackson. Everyone freaked out here when we signed DeSean Jackson. Everyone did, because everyone remembers DeSean Jackson in 2010, 2009, not 34-year-old DeSean Jackson. How many games has he played for us? I don't know. Four in 2 years? You know, and they thought they were set everywhere else. And this is like, well, we, you know, we have the room here on our roster to waste it on a second round quarterback here, because we're set everywhere else, which is that's probably the bigger flaw than not figuring out Wentz's his psyche and how he's going to react to this or taking the second round pick, thinking that everything else was all good. And they're in a contender stage where if Wentz goes down, we need someone with talent in that backup position that's going to be cheap. I think that was more of the problem than, you know, misreading Wentz. Hollis.
I think the problem with Wentz was he was worried about stuff too much, mainly because once they pay you $100 million, you are the man. The job is yours to lose. And doing nothing short of what he did by imploding, then you will be benched. That's all you had to think about there. Mate Sudfeld is not wasn't happening. It's like, and he had 1 year left on his contract. So you get your young guy in there because you feel like Carson is going to be your man because you've paid him. You're really paying nothing for Jalen Hurts, and he would be a good guy to tutor. But now he's been thrust into the mix. And I don't know why everybody's keep talking about what's happening on the offensive line or the receivers, because he was holding the ball too long and staring down one guy anyway. He regressed, point blank.
I agree. Well, you know what? Let's delve into that for just a second. All right. Let's talk about what this cost us. All right. And then on the back end, or when I finish this little segment, which is going to be less than a minute, we're going to get into it more when we come back from break, because we're going to take one here in just a couple seconds. All right. To get the number two overall pick in 2016, all right, we had to give up to the Cleveland Browns a first round pick, eighth overall. They took, they traded back to 15 or something. They took Corey Coleman, which apparently the Cleveland Browns first round picks are the farm system for the New York Giants, because that's where Coleman is. Also, with the 2017 first round pick we gave them, they took Jabril Peppers, who is playing for the Giants now. And that 2018 second round pick was Nick Chubb. Kind of wish we had had him, but, you know, he wouldn't have been smart enough to draft that guy. And then there was also the 2016 third and fourth round pick, 77th and 100th overall. We get a fourth round pick, which was used for Donnell Pumphrey. Thank you. And then we got the number two overall. So think about that for a hot second, all three of you. And when we come back from break, I want to hear whether or not you how much you didn't think it was worth it right now, or did you think it was worth it? Because we did win a Super Bowl during that run. So think about that for a second. We're going to take a break right now on Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports The Gambler, 102.5 FM Philadelphia, brought to you by Bud Light. We'll be back right after this. All right, Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports The Gambler, 102.5 FM Philadelphia, brought to you by Bud Light. Everybody, the topic at hand right now, looking back at the trade, and of course, we all remember we moved up to the eighth pick in the draft by trading Byron Maxwell and Kiko Alonso to Miami, which at that point, I'll be the first one to say, I thought Howie Roseman was GM of the freaking century. And then we had to give up a massive amount of picks, five picks, including two first rounders and a second round pick to move up to get the overall number two from Cleveland. And here we are, 5 years later. And I want to know from you, I'm going to start with Diaz, go to Sack, and then Hollis, you bat cleanup on this one. Was that trade worth it? Was that trade worth it in your eyes? Diaz, what do you got?
100%, absolutely. We're not even going to argue about it. It was worth it. They won a Super Bowl, and Carson Wentz was a huge part of it. I don't care what the draft, you know, it was a first in 2017, a second, a third. Trade the entire draft for 2 years. Give me another Super Bowl. I'll take the whole 2021 draft, the whole 2022 draft, and you tell me we're going to win in the next 3 years another Super Bowl. There's no argument about it. It's really crappy. Where they could have had the They had it right there. They had the palm in their hand. It's everything that happened thereafter. But as far as was it worth it, Wentz was the reason we got home field advantage. We say the same points over and over. Everyone agrees. How could you say anything but it was totally worth it. Moving down, Sack, what do you think? Are you with me against – well, I know you're normally against me, but you're with me on this one.
I'm 100% with you on this one because, listen, if you guys want to take into account too, you're looking at the draft picks that we gave up, but you're also not taking into account what we got back when Teddy Bridgewater blew out his knee and we traded away sleeves, right? So we got a 1 and a 4 for Sam Bradford. So if you look at it, we really only gave up a second-round pick. Like, we swapped picks in 2016, right, the 2 and the 8. We got a 4th in return. We gave them a 4th. We got a 1st back for Bradford. So, really, that cancels out what we gave them in 2017 with a 1st-round pick. And then we got a 4th pick that cancels out the 3rd-round pick in 2016. So, really, the only pick that you gave up was the 2nd-rounder in 2018 to get Carson Wentz. And you got a Super Bowl title out of it. I saw something today on Twitter from somebody that covers the Browns was saying that they got it right and they're the real winners in the trade. No, you are not, because you still cover the Browns, you still live in Cleveland, and you're still a bunch of losers. So check the trophy cases, boys. We have 1, you have 0. Eagles win every second of that day. Hollis.
Who's the only team to never host or be in a Super Bowl? Only city.
Cleveland. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, we got it right, and I don't feel like we sold our soul to get the Super Bowl. I just feel like some of the moves after we won the Super Bowl were extremely questionable, and I felt like we were smelling ourselves and feeling ourselves.
That's
and
right.
We thought that we could just insert people, or we could get rid of people, it just started going awry. And you start getting rid of the trainers that you had, and it's just like you find out how he's making daytime, who's saying who's active and inactive, who's playing, who's not playing. And you get to that point, and you've overstepped your boundaries. You're a GM. You're supposed to pick the talent. You're not supposed to coach the team.
There's a Pat Riley. I think it's Pat Riley in the NBA, but it could apply to any sport. When you win a championship, what happens is the disease of more. Everyone feels, you know, all contributors, whether high or low, they all feel like I helped. I need to get paid more. I need to get recognized more. All my moves won. And Howie, man, like, he might have sold his soul for the devil for that championship because every little move, Patrick Robinson, the backup, Big V on the line drafted that year, Jalen Mills starting in a Super Bowl as a 7th rounder or something.
Seventh
like
round pick, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, the, you know, and the camaraderie, the way those guys all came together, just wild yeah. How he hit that.
But the way I think about that is I think a lot of it was a little bit Joe Douglas, because if you notice, once he left and things started going awry, and I started noticing his body language, because he wasn't getting to do what he was got to do when he first got here, because
Tank, drifting.
I'm sorry. Am I drifting? Drifting. Sorry.
Drifting.
Drifting what?
talking about whether or not we thought the draft picks were worth it. You're bringing in Joe Douglas already.
Well, the part about Joe Douglas was still a part about Howie. If we give Howie any credibility for what went down,
and I'm just asking if he thought the draft, giving up that amount of draft picks, was worth it.
Oh yeah, we were drifting, but yes, it was. Yes, sir, it was. Sackmaster. Hey. Oh, my bad. Go ahead.
No, thank
you. Go ahead, Kim. Sorry.
I'm really just going to say, be careful what you ask for, because I think every single one of us sold our soul. It wasn't just Howie. It wasn't just that. I said it. I said, hey, I'm good with being a losing franchise for 5 years after this. I said it. Be careful what you ask for, everybody. Be careful what you ask for. Diaz.
I think everyone here, Sixers, Flyers, Phillies, yeah, I'd give up 5 years of being a losing team for a championship for all those. I think the difference, though, with this is just it's not that, like, guys got hurt and guys got old and they tried to bring it back and it didn't work, but the spirit was good and the team seemed to still be one driving force together. It's just so fractured. The head coach is fired, and the quarterback just hates the team, and there's all these picks, and everyone's sniping at each other, and all these rumors going through the locker room. Like, losing isn't fun either way, but this just feels like everyone just hates their guts, you know? And I see it on the street and people are like, man, that Green Legion Radio, those guys just seem like they don't get along. Behind the scenes, we're all buddies. We have a good time. You know, most of the time, Sack is upset because I'm always right and proven right all the time, and he gets upset with me. But we are one cohesive unit, and it's, the Eagles are just like biting at each other. It's no fun. It's no fun to lose when everyone hates each other, you know?
Sack, go ahead, brother.
I appreciate you giving us one of your go-to lines. It's going to take us a minute to get through it. But I look at it like this. I understand right now everybody is hurt by Carson leaving. And, you know, I've read some of the comments here on the board. You know, Carson wasn't made to play in Philly.
I saw that, David Harris.
Like, seriously, man. Like, come on, man. Like, for 4 years, all we did was sit there and say, this guy's the man. Like, this guy plays in Philly. He played on a torn ACL. You know, he played on a broken back. Like, you know, like, he drugged trash to the playoffs. Like, come on, man. Like, let's not forget about the first 4 years that the guy was here. It was entertaining football. He set us up in the right position to go on to win a Super Bowl. And Nick Foles got the glory and got to raise the trophy. And you know, God bless him, too. But let's not look at the first 4 years and sit there and go, it wasn't worth it. Like, last year sucked. It was pandemic, empty stadiums. We couldn't go to games. You know, it was just a bad year overall for Carson Wentz and for all of us. Like, let's just take it like this, man. I want the guy to go on to Indianapolis. I wish him all the luck in the world. He's going to a great situation, and I hope he succeeds, and I hope we succeed with Jalen Hurts. I hope we do.
Now what? I was about to say the same thing. I hope he succeeds, but I didn't think it was going to happen here. After how all this went down and how bad it truly got, I didn't think he was going to succeed here because he was too far gone. It's kind of like when you discipline something, you just pals with somebody, then all of a sudden you become a disciplinarian, and it's like you can't do it. You can't go away from it. So I felt like we just, his leash was a little bit too long, and we just let it get away from us, and here's what we got. Diaz.
Yeah. I want to just say this too. Can we please stop? In any sport, he can't handle Philadelphia. Don't let the fans drive the talent out. I mean, he didn't even listen to any of the fans. It had nothing to do with us. It was all in inner politics and all that. But I will say this, you know, we've got some good trips on the Green Legion Invasion Tour for 2021, but silver lining of this trip, in 2022, the Green Legion will be invading Indianapolis, which doesn't sound like a huge destination. Although, for this one instance, maybe we'll get a couple more Legionnaires that will join us in the middle of the country next year. What do you think, Q?
Thomas Palmer is saying the exact thing that I was going to say. I hope he succeeds for two reasons. It gets us a pick.
Exactly.
Pick. All right. So let's just lay on that. And yes, I have been to Indianapolis. I have run trips to Indianapolis. They have just not been for Philadelphia Eagles games. I used to run trips for Drum and Bugle Corps, and that's where they have their national championships. We were doing it for family friends of the high school kids that were competing. One of our good friends of our program, an honorary Theta Chi fraternity brother at Drexel University, Bob Jacobs, was in charge of Drum and Bugle Corps. He's in Blackwood, New Jersey. He asked me to get involved there. So I know everything about Indianapolis already. We're good to go. We haven't been there since we started this thing, but I've already run trips to Indianapolis. So
I hear it's a great, great little town, like a bunch of bars right in downtown.
Yeah. Be prepared. But we need to take a break right now, everybody. Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports The Gambler, 102.5 FM Philadelphia, brought to you by Bud Light. We'll be back with more Carson Wentz talk after this. All right, everybody. Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports The Gambler, 102.5 FM Philadelphia, brought to you by Bud Light. I apologize. I say the Green Legion has never been to Indianapolis for a Colts game, and I lied. I apologize, Captain. Captain actually took the honorary Green Legion Grim Reaper outfit to the Indianapolis Monday night game in September of 2016, I believe it was, when I also believe We won that game after a Malcolm Jenkins, who we just signed, and he's playing a second game as an Eagle, had a pick six or an important pick at the end of the game. I don't
Was that 16 or 15? Wentz wasn't playing in that game because week two was Chicago.
No, no, wait. No, it's no, 14. 14. Sorry. Excuse me. 2014.
Sounds like, yeah.
2014. I apologize. 2014. So, and I believe Malcolm Jenkins had a pick six in the fourth quarter that won that game for him, or pick.
Yeah, it was
somebody
a pick.
Will have to refresh my memory.
Yeah, it was a pick, but Sproles was a monster that game. Unbelievable. Was he? Man, he was incredible.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, good. Thanks, Zach. I appreciate that that correction there. And yeah, I do remember Sproles having a monster game. But let's continue on this Howie Carson trip, because
why?
I know. Because there's more, because there's more things to talk about.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
I know.
And you know why? Because actually our listening audience tonight has been pretty dedicated, and I think everybody wants to hear our take on this stuff, especially Tanks and you guys. Not so much me. I'm just keeping the carnival in line. But I got to be honest with you, and I'm going to go around the room, and I want to start with Diaz and Zach, and then Hollis. You know, your opinion is valued on this one probably more than anybody's, because you've seen so many of these. Where I do not regret and agree with what all of you said in our last segment about Carson Wentz coming to the team, actually winning us a Super Bowl and giving up those draft picks in order to do so. Yes, I agree. It was a great move. It won us a Super Bowl. However, how many of those great moves have actually taken place? And after this, our compensation for Carson Wentz is a second and a third. I'm not so certain I'm a complete believer in these monster trades anymore. I want your take on this. It's bad acting, but a great movie in Draft Day. And I, you know, it's entertaining for me. I still wonder how does Kevin Costner keep getting work? But I don't know. If I'm a GM, I don't, after seeing all these disasters, predominantly with quarterbacks, all right, that's what this is all about. It's all about getting your quarterback that you want in the first five picks of the draft. And I don't know, Diaz, are these picks in general worth it? We can bring up so many of these move ups. And situations that turn into a complete disaster. Your take?
I mean, first, yeah, when you said massive trades, I don't know exactly what you mean, but I think I get you.
Giving up a number of first round picks or high draft picks to move up in the draft to get the player that you want.
Right. Well, you know, I was reading something today, and Bruce Arians was quoted. They asked him, like, through all this process of scouting and interviews and getting, you know, the guy's complete background of his whole life history and his brain and everything like that. What do you think is the success rate? And he said like something like 30% or something like that. I think what happens when you give up a whole lot to get a quarterback that high, if it works, it's totally worth it. And if it doesn't work, you're going to be hamstrung anyway. You're going to be bad and you're going to be right back there. So, you know, that's one way to look at it. But here's an interesting stat before I move on here. I saw today between 2009 and 2016, there was 22 quarterbacks drafted in the first round. None of them are still with the team that drafted them. There was 22 quarterbacks taken in 7 years or 8 years, I guess, between 2009 and 2016. None of them on the original team. Sack.
Now, listen, I look at it like this. If you identify a guy to be your guy, you go and get your guy, whatever you have to pay, whatever the price may be. With that being said, though, you want to make sure that you have the draft capital to go up and get that guy, because the only way you're going to sustain success in the NFL is if you build through the draft, and you do it that way because you need young talent, good young talent, guys that can come in, and you want talent. A lot of times talent isn't just, you know, being a pro bowler. It's a guy that knows his role and does it well. and fits in, you know, into the machine as a cog, and allows a defense to play a certain style. That's where the Eagles have failed over the last few years. They have not identified the right players. They have not identified the right people to come in here and be difference makers, as we've seen with J.J. Arcega-Whiteside instead of DK Metcalf, as we've seen with Jalen Reagor instead of Justin Jefferson. These things right here come back to bite you in the ass. And when they do, it hurts you, just like this trade. Yeah, okay, we got something for it. But, you know, for Carson Wentz, but man, we're going to bite the bullet with the dead cap this year. And we're still not even completely sure or sold on the guy that is the heir apparent that's going to take over. We've only seen it for four games in Jalen Hurts. Quimby.
Hollis, I want to throw this to you. I'm sorry. I didn't want to take out of the pecking order here. But I'm on the Jalen Reagor pick, I'm still ambivalent. I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm sorry. That's a better term. Only because you have to consider that the person throwing the ball to him the most of the season had the worst season of most quarterbacks of all time. So you can't really – Justin Jefferson, yeah, I get it. I still think Justin Jefferson would have been a better pick, agreed, in theory. And just, you know, what did he have? He had 100 receptions plus this year, but –
first team all pro.
Yeah, I'm not willing to give up on or say Jalen Reagor is not going to be a legitimate impact player on this team just yet, because person throwing the ball to him couldn't throw the freaking ball to him. So Zach, go ahead.
He barely played with Jalen Reagor because he was hurt most of the time that he played with him. So by the time he was actually healthy towards the end of the year, which, remember, they put him in for one punt return this year, one, and he scored against Green Bay with it. So, like, and then they didn't use him the rest of the season in that role. Like, you got to put this guy in positions to succeed, and they never did, whether Hurts was out there or Wentz. Hollis, on to you.
Well, you know what? Sometimes these things work, but I think people try to put too much stock in quarterbacks instead of just drafting the guy who's good. They put a lot
best
of stock.
Best player available.
Yeah,
You can always upgrade.
Yeah, you can always upgrade. And the other part to this too is what a lot of you guys don't see is when they may have somebody in training camp that's better than the guy that they drafted, and everybody on the team sees it, but because they drafted that guy, because that guy makes more money, the rest of the team has to suffer because the front office doesn't want to be wrong. Instead of everybody coming out and earning their keep, it's a weird dynamic when you look at it, and you don't learn it as a player until about your third or fourth year.
And it's Javon Hargrave mm-hmm. and Malik Jackson yep. are two examples of Howie Roseman not wanting to be wrong about his Fletcher Cox signing. Mm-hmm. Huge. Zach, go real quick.
Real quick before I kick it to Diaz, because I know he has a point to make too. You're correct by that, like the Quimby and Hollis, because remember, Travis Fulgham was up there for about 4 or 5 weeks. His stats were comparable to Davante Adams. But when Alshon Jeffrey came back, they had to put him on the field because they had to try and validate Howie giving him that contract
exactly
this year and the cap hit if they would have cut him. So right there for you, Diaz.
I agree. And, you know, it's just a little interesting to kind of take a look at it this way, though. You take the best player available, and like Quimby, like you said, you can always upgrade. But also you got to – like quarterback is just a different beast. You know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers spent a couple of years drafting well, developing well, picking up players like Sue and JPP, getting that defensive line set, building up the linebackers and everything. And they were terrible in 2019. And they upgraded the quarterback where Brady wasn't lights out, but certainly, you know, certainly better than Jameis Winston. And it took him a little bit while to get ready. And then they made a Super Bowl run and win it all. So it's kind of like, yeah, let's take the best player available. But if you can get that quarterback, he's going to make the difference. So if they believe it, they're like, you know, at number six or whatever, you know, you got to pull the trigger like Saxon.
Yeah. And it's just one of those things where if you see the guy that you want, you should take him. A lot of people talk about don't take running backs here, don't take running backs there. But sometimes you come across a game changer. And if a game changer comes up, you have to take him or you're going to set your team back because you're going to reach in those later rounds, Donnell Pumphreys, to try to get somebody that took that's comparable to the guy that you should have took early in the draft. And we missed on a bunch of players, and especially like the only offensive lineman I feel like we hit on a couple of offensive linemen here and there. But then you draft Danny Watkins, who's a 30-year-old fireman pushing eighth graders around in college and high school, and you bring him here and he gets his ass kicked. And
BYU.
And it's like the thing is we got to quit. They have to quit thinking that they're smarter than everybody else. The Jalen Reagor pick is the same thing. You think you're smarter than everybody else. It's like, no, he was not on anybody else's board.
Well, and let's talk about that real quick, because this is something we want to get into, and we're going to dig into Howie a little bit more right now. Howie Roseman, all right, his first round draft picks since he's been GM, you have to exclude 2015 when Chip Kelly had the reins, all right, but in order, 2010, Brandon Graham, can't be upset with that one, you know, great pick. I think we were all a little disappointed in Brandon Graham in the first four seasons. Couldn't figure out why he got a contract extension, to be honest with you, because he was just a nice player, but he has certainly turned into better than a nice player. Sack, real quick, and then I got to get into this list.
Yeah, I was disappointed that night. They traded up, and I want Earl Thomas.
Hey, so you want somebody exactly. Land next to his exactly. Brother getting it on?
they're not working right now. I'm sure we can call them up. If we get the Airbnb, we'll take – you know, they'll join us. That won't be a hard one to cover right now. All right, then, of course, like Kyle said, Danny Watkins. Then Fletcher Cox. And Howie likes to hang his resume hat on Fletcher Cox and, up until now, Carson Wentz, but Fletcher's still his boy. After that, Lane Johnson. So three of your first 4 years, and you've had impact players. I'm disappointed with Fletcher Cox since he signed the big contract, but that was the going rate for what they thought they were going to get out of him. I just thought he's been subpar since. But since then, other than Carson Wentz, which we won't bring up because we know. It's been a complete crap show.
A wild stab in the dark.
Yeah, Marcus Smith. To this day, all right. Howie Roseman could have had 8 out of 9 power number one picks, but he's never going to lose the Marcus Smith pick off of his resume. We will never forget that pick. Derek Barnett. Jury's still out. I'm sorry. You know he's okay. What do you have? 5 sacks, 5.5 sacks this year?
Yeah.
He's got great bend, though. He can bend around the corner. He's got great bend.
And he's good against the run.
His engine never quits. He's the little train that could. Yay, whatever. Big Puddin, done.
Oh,
and,
God.
Jalen Reagor, and, you know, we're looking for immediate impact out of a first-round player or first-round pick at this point because – we have now found in this day and age with the transition from NCAA football to NFL football, you can get an impact player in the first round. Somebody who is going to make a difference on your team from day one. And we have not seen that. We certainly didn't see it with Jalen Reagor. Hollis, your take on all this.
You are correct, but you also could get quality in the second and third round.
We're not getting there, though.
My point is we keep thinking that we're the smartest people. They keep thinking they're the smartest people in the room in every round. I don't know what the hell they're doing scout wise, or are they even listening to the scouts? Because the guys they're picking are head scratchers sometimes. But the kid Marcus Smith, you know where he was at Wild Wings, Buffalo Wild Wings, when he got drafted. That's how much he didn't know he was going to get drafted in the first round. Diaz.
Well, I wanted to kind of piggy off with what Hollis was saying. And Quimby, I know you want to talk about first round picks. And it's true. Like, that's what we're talking about. But the second round picks, I don't want to say they're just as valuable. You have a greater chance at hitting in the first round. But you can't – the second round picks, too, we've got a running back, Miles Sanders, who's often injured, had some little drop problems. Dallas Goedert seems like to be a good second-round pick, except you traded up to get him, and it was a redundant pick. You had one of your best players on your team, Zach Ertz, was already there. you know, like it's not just the first round because, you know, when you get to, when you're picking at like 24, I'm making up the number, not six, but you're picking at 24. What's the difference between the 24th pick and the 40th pick? There isn't a whole lot. Once these players get into camp, they got to play. It's not weird to see a second round pick outperform a first round pick. And the reason I say that, Quimby, I'll roll it over to you, Sack. Is
I hear you, Diaz.
We could dissect the first round, but if we threw the second round in there, we're gonna have the same kind of results. And the third round, and it's so frustrating.
And you know, free agency.
All free agency. Sack, what do you got?
No, listen, I understood why they took Goddard with the second round pick was because they just lost Brent Celek to retirement, and Trey Burton was a free agent and went to the Bears. So they love running 12 personnel, right? But listen, the second round is almost as valuable, like Diaz said, because, like, dude, Brian Dawkins was a second round pick, Hall of Fame. Zach Ertz was a second round pick, fringe Hall of Fame probably for tight ends. And listen, we sucked so bad last year that our second round pick is so close to being a first round pick this year. So really, like, you need to hit on both of those picks. Huge. Humongous.
At least one out of two. At least one out of two every single year.
No, but I'm saying this year. This year you need to hit on those picks because we need to replenish the talent pool. And like you guys said, best player available all day long. I do not care what position outside of do not draft the quarterback in the first round.
Well, you know, myself and Chad Lewis, we were not drafted. We came in kicking in teeth. And the thing that I think you guys ought to know as well is when a guy comes in and he's not drafted really high, he has a chip on his shoulders. Those other guys, for some odd reason, the first round picks, they always seem to be prima donnas, and that's why the veterans always make fun of them and make sport of them because they feel to knock them down some pegs because you're not the big fish in the pond anymore. You got to work your way back up. Go ahead, DS.
But did anyone here know that Tank wasn't drafted by the Eagles? This is the first time ever hearing it. I've never heard of this before.
You didn't know that?
Never heard it. That's weird. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good things. Mazel.
The undrafted truth, man. The undrafted truth.
And
he's busting your chops, Tank. Don't take that from him.
I know. And I've been putting that Chad Lewis, too.
I didn't know. Actually, I did not know Chad Lewis wasn't drafted.
Chad Lewis wasn't drafted either. Good.
Hollis, you're right, though, because Tom Brady's been in the league, you know, Sam would know this best, over 20 years. The guy was drafted, picked 199 in the sixth round, and he's had that chip on his shoulder his whole entire career. So, Sam Brady, that one's for you.
Atta girl.
Well, let's talk about this real quick, because we only got 3 minutes before we need to take a break.
Okay.
I don't want to go through the rest of his stumbling picks, which haven't worked, but the element that we've talked about but we haven't laid into is you have to hit with these second, third, fourth, fifth round picks at some point because it balances the salary cap. You have these guys on rookie contracts that aren't making squat, that aren't making – not yet, Hollis, I'll get to you – that aren't making – you know, they're not making Dick Cheney at all right? So – that covers up for the $20 million a year players that you have to sign to get Darius Slay in here and tighten up that defensive backfield for you. So with that being said, 2017 for me is still the shining example of where Howie went wrong. And in that, we're talking about Derek Barnett, Sidney Jones, Rasul Douglas, Mac Hollins, Donnell Pumphrey, Shelton Gibson, Nate Gary, and Elijah Qualls. And where I still have a man crush on Nate Gary, he kind of sucked this year. We all know.
Oh, God.
So the only impact player, which has not been an impact player, he's just been a nice player so far in the 2017 draft, is Derek Barnett. And these are guys that are in – they're still – if they're signing a full five-year rookie contract – they still have one more year left. We should have a nice balance of these awesome, excellent veteran free agent picks to balance out with the kids that are only making $1.1 million a year in the fourth year of their rookie contract. So, Tank, on that, we only got about 2 minutes left, so give yourself 30 seconds, 45, Diaz, and then Sack, and then we'll go to break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk a little bit more about it.
Okay, well, what I was going to piggyback off of what you were saying about the later round picks, those guys are made up. Those guys are brought in really to solidify your special teams because you don't want to give them too much. But as they're solidifying themselves on those special teams and not making this much, you want them to learn. You want them to learn the defense or the offense that they're in. So that's what the later part of the rounds are made up for. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if this is everyone, but for me, I really only care or rate the first four rounds. After that, there's always a reason that those guys weren't drafted. They were too slow to the college they played at, the conference they paid. They were too small. I mean, there's something. Doesn't mean that they're not going to be quality players. We get Trent Cole in the fifth round. We get Hollis Tank Thomas undrafted. But there's always some reason. So it's like not kind of as much of a guaranteed or like you think that they're going to contribute right away. And just like rounds one through four for us, it seems like we're better drafting in rounds five through seven and undrafted guys than we are in the top four. So I don't know if that's the right way to look at it. Well, but
that's because Howie has to go to the undrafted pool to make up for the picks that he didn't hit on. Fact. Sack. Finish this up for us.
Well, it's not even so much that he has to re-sign these older guys for big money that's going to take up a lot of money on the cap because he's blowing the picks. And when he blows the picks, he has to go out and trade for a guy like Darius Slay because a guy like Sidney Jones that he drafted didn't pan out. So when those picks don't pan out, he has to trade away draft capital for older players and pay them big money deals, or he has to continue to bring back the same guys over and over again. Jason Peters, you know, a big three-year contract for Brandon Graham and Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks. Like, these guys continue to stay around because he fails on his picks.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. You guys, Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports, The Gambler, 102.5 FM, Philadelphia, brought to you by Bud Light. More Philadelphia Eagles when we get back. And then in our last segment, we're going to get into a short amount of Phillies. JT Realmuto's got a little thumb injury right now. The NHL and the Flyers are getting back on the ice. Joel Embiid's injured again. Who saw that coming? But anyway, Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports, The Gambler, 102.5 FM, Philadelphia, brought to you by Bud Light. Back right after this. All right, everybody. Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports, The Gambler, 102.5 FM, Philadelphia, brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light. Once again, a huge shout out to John Dorenzi from Penn Distributors and everybody over at Anheuser-Busch that has made the show possible for us, as well as our good friend Sean Brace and Mike Tallarita over at iHeartRadio, The Daily Ticket. Listen to them from 3 to 6. You got Eitan on from 6 to 8. You got Jansen on from 8 to 10, I believe, now. So make sure you got your weekday lineup with Fox Sports The Gambler completely solidified. And hopefully come by about April, Green Legion Radio is going to own the weekends, and we're happy as hell about that. Everybody, let's continue on with this conversation. Aside the fact that if you're watching us on our Facebook Live page or YouTube or Twitter, you guys all just got a shot of Diaz in his pajama bottoms drinking bourbon. We're all kind of excited about that, Diaz. Thanks for that show.
I'm happy as hell he's on mute right now, and I'm happy as hell I missed it.
Listen, I apologize for being on mute. I know the members of Diaz Nation are waiting for it to get to our show. I'm comfy here at home. I'm on dad duty, doing my American. I'm wearing pajamas, bourbon, talking sports. Isn't that what we're supposed to do, Sack? Fathers,
are you on dad duty after drinking bourbon? Because for Christ's sake, call in the nanny.
That's it.
Calling the nanny. Wow.
I'll tell you what, let's do this real quick just to make sure we have enough time. Our last segment is going to be spent on perception around the league of the Philadelphia Eagles and the front office right now. We're going to cut a little bit of football out for now. Let's get to a sack attack, if that's all right with everybody. Let's talk a little Phillies. Let's talk a little Flyers, and let's get some NBA in there as well, Diaz. So, Sack, what do you got on JT Realmuto and any implications or serious Twitter rumors or silly tweets that took place this last couple of days regarding him?
Well, it turns out that that a few days ago, Realmuto was in camp early, so he was blocking balls behind the plate, and he got nicked on his thumb, which is a non-displaced avulsion fracture on his right thumb, which is his throwing hand. So his hand has to be immobilized for 2 weeks. And he says that he's not worried about missing opening day. So Phillies fans shouldn't be worried about him missing opening day. So that's a good sign.
That's his dominant hand, right? He got hit. Yeah, his dominant hand.
Yeah, that's the one that he throws with.
He's married, right?
Yes, he is.
Thank God, because that opposable thumb, you know, if he wasn't married, he'd be in deep trouble.
He also has two little girls at home, so I'm sure he doesn't really have to worry about his thumb so much. He's not getting any action. He's not getting any action. He's got two kids at home. He's getting no action, okay?
I'm sorry. I don't know if JT Real Muto's life is like yours at home, but I'm just curious.
Hey, can we let's rewind 12 months ago and where Quimby was. I seem to recall February, March, April, and May of Quimby's life last year.
Yo, dry streak, baby, dry streak.
68 days slump.
I was in the biggest Pat Burrell batting slump of my life.
It's bad, man. You beat Joe DiMaggio a streak of 56.
I was about to run up on Rob V's dry spell. But anyway, please.
Yeah, that's probably about 3 years.
About a lifetime. Love you, Rob.
All
right. So anyway, another big move that the Phillies made this past week is they added another arm to their bullpen. They brought in 36-year-old left-handed specialist Tony Watson. So you know, it's another piece. So it's exciting to see that the Phillies. The Phillies bullpen will not be awful this year. It should really help out, especially some of the low-end moves that we talked about last week in the back of the rotation. But again, this division, and Diaz, this is not an excuse. I'm not making any excuses.
Here it comes, everybody.
My official 2021 picks will come out the week before the season starts. So, Sean Henderson, you can kiss my ass. You're not getting them early. But I told him, Quimby, I told him, I was like, listen, man, it's for the show. Do it for the show. So, but yeah, like, you know, it should be an exciting time. The division is going to be really tough, a lot of fun. And as far as the Flyers are concerned, the Flyers hit the ice on Thursday night. They're back. Obviously, we're recording on Thursday night. They're playing the Rangers at home. The Rangers are on a 4-game losing streak. They just gave up 5 goals to the Devils, so they're not playing too hot right now, and the Flyers are getting back on the ice after being off for 10 days. Unfortunately, at the Lake Tahoe game, they're going to be missing quite a few of their most important players, Konechny, Giroux, Braun, and Lawton, and Voracek. They all will not be able to play in the Lake Tahoe game come this Sunday against the Bruins at 3 p.m.
Just a quick FYI. It's been a little fun down here getting to know a Czech hockey player, as I've now played a couple rounds with Roman Hammerlick, who lives down here in Costa Rica now, not too far from the resort. And he's
That name's got to be what's that last name again? That's got to be made up.
No, Hammerlick. It's real. Hammerlick. You remember Roman Hammerlick? He was really.
He's actually a former first overall pick of the draft, a defenseman for the Tampa Bay. Yeah,
absolutely. Played 20 years in the league, played with Calgary, played with the Rangers, played with Toronto, played with the Canadiens, spent a lot of time. I think he played for Vancouver as well. Five of his 7 teams he played for were in Canada. But, he's a good dude.
You better not be turning into a hockey guy. Don't be getting soft on me down there, dude.
we talk about golf and drinking.
That's acceptable.
Yeah. Anyway, Zach, please continue.
No, that's all I have for the Flyers. Happy they're going to be getting back on the ice. The Phillies just started spring training, so I'm excited about them getting everything rolling. JT should be back for opening day, and I'm going to kick it over to Diaz with a bit of a Sixers update because I'm hearing that Joel Embiid is having back issues, but if he's back on the Chick-fil-A diet, it might be more frontal than back. Diaz, will you elaborate on that,
please? That's adorable, recycling your terrible bad jokes. No, I got a quick question about the Flyers first, because I know they have the 53 game. Like, are they – and they rescheduled some games around here. Are they still on track? Are they going to play all these games? Like, are they still on track and they're just kind of dice it up or whatever?
They've rescheduled about 4 of them so far. The other half have not been rescheduled yet. But the Flyers will play all 56 games this season. It's just a matter of – when they're going to play them, they're probably going to have to extend the regular season. But they're, you know,
double headers, baby, double headers.
My wife said that earlier. She's like, are they going to play double headers? I was like, in hockey? Like, no, hell no, that ain't happening. So, but yeah, it would be fun, but it's just not going to happen.
No. A quick little Sixers check in here. It was a rough week. They started off their West Coast 4-game West Coast trip strong with a win over Sacramento, who was playing really good up until that point. Then they lost three in a row to Portland, Phoenix, and Utah. All of those teams are playing spectacularly right now. There's no moral victories, but a loss is a loss here. At the top of the show, Quimby was, Embiid's, if you have a back issue, I have a disc issue. I don't know if, Hollis, you've had a disc. Like, they don't go away. They flare up, and you got to do PT and try and contain them. Good news, bad news. The bad news is that, it seems like he's in the middle of a flare-up or whatever you want to say. But last night and last week, too, playing through that, and it's not like he's not some hero or anything like that, but certainly when we get to the playoffs, if he's in the middle of a spasm, he's going to have to play through it. So with what's going on in the league right now, Kevin Durant taking a seat because of Achilles issue, same thing with Anthony Davis taking a seat. The main thing here is, hey, you don't have to play Embiid 38 minutes a game to try and come back against Portland on the road in February. He's got to be healthy. Protect him at all costs. The playoffs are the only thing that matters. I want to get the Gobbler's comments on here. I'm sure they're going to be antagonistic towards me and trying to get me fired up, but unfortunately I don't have any more bourbon than what I've got in my glass here. So what do you got for me, Kyle?
No, it's nothing bad, but you said there's no moral victories. I mean, a three-game skid is a three-game skid, but a moral victory is Ben Simmons is doing what I've been begging him to do the entire season, and that's be aggressive, want the ball to be a scorer, and he doesn't have to shoot 26 times a game like he did in that 42-point performance, but 12 to 15, he needs to do that. He needs to be aggressive like that.
Kyle, I agree. I hear you. There's one thing kind of you have to think about it here, too. The Sixers were outshot by 23 points. They were 43 to 23 in three-point shots, and that's a lot of that has to do. I know that no one cares, and it's made up, and no one gives a crap, but Ben Simmons has assisted more three-pointers since his time in the league than everyone in the entire league but LeBron James. If Ben Simmons isn't facilitating those three-point shots because he's driving to the hoop and it's good and he had a great game, but they lost. He's the one that's been kicking out to get those three-point shots. So you're right. He doesn't need 26, but who knows?
It goes back to – I'll get to Quimby in a second, but it goes back to the common denominator on both sides. They need somebody to replace Danny Green because it's just not cutting it. They need a true three-point scorer that he can facilitate to.
Perfect segue, Slash, and I appreciate that. There's a rumor. I don't know. I can't because I'm not a basketball guy at all. We all know this.
Or a football guy, or baseball, or hockey, or really anything.
Wow,
but traveling.
Because the good news is you're fired. there's a rumor about a trade for a veteran from Sacramento.
Yeah. Bielinka, who he had actually, the Sixers were going to sign him. They had a deal in place.
Oh, yeah.
And then he said, this is like 3 years ago. They had a deal in place. And then he said, you know what, forget it. I'm going to go back to Croatia where, I'm making that up, wherever, to play.
What is the latest on this rumor? This guy apparently put 3 out of 4 seasons in a row where he was shooting 40% from beyond the arc. And he's now on a team that is obviously committed to rebuilding at this point, Sacramento, correct?
They're better than they were. They're a fringe playoff team. He's fine. I mean, it's not you. They certainly need help at the.
Would it help?
It might. It depends on how he fits in. On the bench, he can certainly shoot. He hasn't been shooting as well this year as in past. Like. The starting lineup, it's the same story. Is that like the starting lineup's great? The bench has just been terrible the last 3 weeks here. They need like a Dwight Howard replacement. That's really what they need right now, Zach.
Diaz, so just a couple questions that I'm sure is going to light your fire a little bit here. So what exactly went on between Devin Booker and the fact that Ben Simmons didn't want to cover him in that game, which allowed him to go off? And then the other one is, I know this, you're going to go off about this one because probably I think your favorite writer asked the question, but how come it seems that Joel Embiid takes the games off against the tougher centers in the league instead of, you know, getting out there and playing against tougher competition? Please elaborate.
Okay, well, the first thing is, I think what you're alluding to is the battle for Kendall Jenner between Devin Booker and Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons was playing against Devin Booker. He's also having to deal with Chris Paul. So, you know, Ben Simmons is probably the best wing defender in the league now. I mean, he shut down Dame. As much as you can shut down someone like Dame Lillard or James Harden, they're always going to get theirs. It's the whole game is geared to the offensive player, but I'm not really going to worry about that. The second thing is here, there's two falsehoods in what you're saying about these freaking centers. I have this with my Axis of Evil, my buddies, that is Rob Roy, Ian Moran, and Kevin McCluskey, who I've known long, and they try and jab me with this too. I looked it up. Versus Jokic, Gobert, Domantas Sabonis, Andre Drummond, and who was the other one? Jonas Valanciunas, who he happens to say. Joel Embiid is 23-12 versus those players in his career. Okay. So you think he's afraid to play against the good guys? Listen, he's 6-1 versus Andre Drummond. He's 4-1 versus Jokic. He takes off for these guys. That's a bunch of horse crap. What happens is if they have a national game, the new rest rules is if it's between two games, you're going to rest. You rest the game before the national game. That's the NBA rules. It's not just Joel Embiid. This happens all the time. Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis. I don't want to hear it's just about Joel Embiid. It's ridiculous. So educate yourself a little bit before you ask stupid questions like that, Zach. I love you.
Oh, it's not a stupid question at all. The stupid question was asked by one of your favorite writers. I thought you would call him out on it, but you didn't.
Listen, Marcus Hayes is not one of my favorite writers. And also, I'm blocked by him as well. I don't know what the hell he says because I can't see it because he's blocked me on every platform for me telling me.
Hold on a second. Now I know why no writer in the city will speak to me when I say, hey, this is Quimby, owner of the Green Legion.
Diaz. No, because Diaz called out the wrong guy. He's done it before on the show. Keith Pompey. I know how much you love him.
Keith Pompey is a nice guy. He's a nice guy. He's just very bland. He's like, the Sixers scored 122 points. The Kings scored 121 points. Ben Simmons had a great game. He's just boring and dull.
Real quick, before we take our final break, or not our final break. Yeah, our final break before our last segment. I want to shout out to Bay Joy Mulatto, who is watching us right now from the Philippines. Now we're stretching, baby.
Nice. What's up?
Damn.
Yeah, very, very nice. When we come back, everybody, we're going to eviscerate Howie Roseman for another 10 minutes and then call it a night. You guys appreciate those Phillies, Flyers, and Sixers updates. Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports, The Gambler. 102.5 FM Philadelphia, brought to you by Bud Light. Back for our final segment here on a Saturday afternoon, right after this. Everybody, Green Legion Radio, Fox Sports, The Gambler, 102.5 FM Philadelphia, brought to you by Bud Light. We're here in our last segment on Saturday afternoon. Again, we appreciate you joining us here on your weekend. Hopefully, we are entertaining the hell out of you. Quick Green Legion announcement. We have decided, as you guys know, as of last year, to permanently incorporate a trip outside of the country during either the Giants or bye week weekends. In addition to that, we have also decided, if it works out schedule-wise, we're going to try to incorporate a trip down to the Parrot in Fort Lauderdale every year as well. And that also will include a live broadcast with Green Legion Radio while we are down there. Hopefully, we'll get you enough warm weather destinations now every year, regardless of what the schedule says or suggests. And that's just something I hope you guys enjoy. Also, a shout out to our good friend, longtime friend of the program. I love her to death. One of my closest friends in the world. I would do anything for her. Jay Vagnetti has turned 50 years old, baby.
Happy birthday, Jay.
Wow. That's crazy because she looks so good for 50, and Quimby, you look so terrible for 50. How is this possible?
Hold on a second. I'll tell you how this is possible. Look.
There you go. I see Jay doing that on every trip, though.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I know it's a milestone age, but you never say a woman's age.
Well, you know what? It's too late for her. At this point, we don't care. It's not like she's 35 trying to be 30. It's not like she's 40 trying to be 33. We are happy that Jay has been a part of our lives for a very long time, and it wouldn't be the same without her. Happy birthday, sweetheart. I love you. All right, look, back to Howie real quick. We got maybe 8.5 minutes left before we call it a week. Again, it's Howie Day, everybody. February 20th, Howie Roseman Day. Let's celebrate all of the successes and predominant failures. The day is dedicated to the man who has ostensibly turned the Super Bowl 52 champion Philadelphia Eagles in a matter of 3 years into the laughing stock of the NFL. Cleveland Brown trade, I almost want to say. Wow, the Philadelphia Eagles are now the Cleveland Browns. They are now the Cleveland Browns of the league.
No.
I'm talking living in the moment, Diaz. Living in the moment. Again, William Hill Sportsbook came out. Super Bowl odds. Last team on the list to win or make it to the Super Bowl this year or next this upcoming season next year. Super Bowl 56 is your Philadelphia Eagles. On that note, here's what I want to ask, because this is where Tank is going to come in, and I want his response first out of everyone. But I do want Sack and Diaz to join in, and let's do that in that order. So, all right, the team's a dumpster fire right now. We all know that. Here's the part that we're not talking enough about. If you're a free agent in this league, if you're somebody that's going to command a dollar, if you're somebody that's going to bring impact immediately to the team that's going to sign you, are the Philadelphia Eagles at this point even on your radar? Tank, real fast, the question, in 15 years in the NFL, have you encountered a front office that is as dysfunctional as this team is right now?
No, I haven't. And I think what we're probably missing is the new head coach and the position coaches. They're going to have a little bit of influence on some guys coming here to get their word out as far as free agents. But the only team that I encountered where they asked me to come in, for a visit was the Detroit Lions. And I was like, hell no. Hell no. I think that between them, if you're drafting a quarterback every year, like, okay, so the dumpster fires that you're speaking of is the teams that are always drafting in the top five picks, which is Jacksonville, Detroit, and you probably can name Cleveland, who just got off the snide this year. But that's what you don't want to go to. You don't, because especially in your waning years, you want to try to win. It's like you made your money with the team that sucks.
Are we turning into, is Howie Roseman Matt Millen?
He's turning into that. And I was going to end off my comment with a lot of people around the league are wondering how on God's green earth does Howie still have a job?
And just when I said that, Russ Taylor, the Lions, when Millen had the pictures of the Ford family. brutal. Diaz, to you on this one.
Well, I get what you're getting at. The Eagles don't have money to sign anyone, all right? And so, like, that's not even an issue. What they're good with, but I get what the point you're trying to make is. What they're going to have to do here is they're going to have to basically – next year doesn't matter. It's just a cap-clearing year. It's trying to identify young players. Maybe Jalen Hurts is going to be a starter for the next 4 or 5 years. Maybe some of those offensive linemen that they drafted turn out to be good. Let's see Jalen Reagor's development. Let's see if Davion Taylor, the third-round pick project last year, let's see if he can get on. It's going to be all – it's going to be like the Sixers process years. Don't care about wins or losses because they're not contending. What we have to do next year is find those pieces, and then it'll be maybe if things go our way, 2017 would be a year where Chris Long, who might be interested in signing on. And you start getting some of those types of players that want to participate and come on here. But as it stands right now, if the Eagles had cap money, they have to overpay for everybody to come here, unless you're a fringe guy that's looking for a job. And that, and that's really where we are.
Zach, what do you got, bub?
Well, on Thursday, I announced that that the salary cap this season is going to be set at $180 million. So thanks to Howie Roseman, we have 33.8 in dead cap already heading into next season. And listen, man, you are going to have to maneuver some of these deals around to even get down back underneath the salary cap. Because remember where we were at before trading Carson Wentz and adding the dead cap? Throw another $34 million on top of that. And he has to be in compliance with that by St. Patrick's Day. Good luck with that. And they have no room for error. They have no room to make any moves. Free agents, you're looking at bottom of the barrel, guys that are just looking to hang around the league and come in and maybe play for a lower deal, and maybe they can strike something and hit for big money elsewhere. But if they play well here, they're going to go someplace else to make their money, unless the Eagles can afford them after next season.
Tank, go.
Well, with the, what I was going to piggyback what Sack was saying was we're going to be looking for some mercenaries to do one-year deals with, because that's all we really can afford. We can't afford to put any money out, so you're going to have to get under the cap first. But then you got to get have the rookie sign. So it's going to be a lot of young guys playing, like you said. But it's not going to be like the year, like the process crap that somebody's talking about over here.
Quibby. Everybody, real quick, 30 seconds. On each, and then Zach wants to end the show with an observation. Tank, is Zach Ertz next on the trading block?
I think Zach Ertz is next. They've already been talking to the Seattle Seahawks and the Indianapolis Colts, which I think is where he's probably going to end up. So we'll probably get another pick from them.
Diaz,
man. Hate to see you go, but, you know, that era is over. It's a new era. I hope him success wherever he goes and gets to win another title, and hopefully cap off a Hall of Fame career.
Zach.
I hate to lose his wife. I mean, I appreciate
What? I'm sorry. The title of the show was I Would Still Pipe Zach Ertz's wife.
I don't think we're going to get away with that one.
Zach isn't going to be an Eagle next year, and it's unfortunate because he's been a great Eagle. He's been a great person in this city, and he has the greatest moment in the history of our franchise, scoring that game-winning touchdown, maybe outside of, you know, the Philly special and the strip sack. But, yeah, he's going to go to Seattle, or he's going to go to Indianapolis, like Tank said.
Real quick, only one of you step up and answer this question. Do you see any other free agent moves, and what player? Go. Anybody?
No.
I don't see none yet. No.
They're stupid. I don't know if they're that stupid. They don't have any money. This is just see what you got and move forward. Look at 2022.
Okay.
Zach, end it, baby.
So, as we all know, on Wednesday, shortstop for the Padres, Fernando Tatis Jr., signed a 14-year, $340 million deal to stay with the Padres. His last year playing will be the last year that Bobby Bonilla gets paid by the New York Mets.
LOL Mets. Love it.
LOL Mets. LOL Mets. Everybody, Diaz, Sack, Tank, Slash, Sam, appreciate you guys all being here and joining us. Together on Green Legion Radio Saturday afternoon on Fox Sports The Gambler 102.5 FM Philadelphia. All of this once again is brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light, Bud Light Seltzer, Michelob Ultra, all of it's part of the family. Make sure you're drinking it. You guys, great show, man. Appreciate you. All right. You guys, we will see you Monday on Get Tanked, Tuesday on Ice to Shorts Winter Sports for Green Legion Radio on Fox Sports The Gambler. We'll see you next week.